I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome along to the Short Ball, everybody. Scotty Stevenson
Short Ball.
And Ellie Williams with you. Here, it's Tuesday the 16th of April. I think it's the 16th of April. What we do know, Ellie, since we last spoke, is that Israel Folau's got himself into a bit of hot water. Are we going there?
Oh, we can go there.
Are we going there?
We can go there if you want to. I mean, everyone's got their opinion. He's obviously got his opinion.
Certainly does.
Far out.
His opinions are based on someone else's opinions from 2,000 years ago, though. I mean, that's intriguing.
Yeah, the bit that I like, okay, everyone have your opinion, I'm cool with it. But The bit that I struggle with is, why do you preach it? Why do you put it out to the people that follow you for the person that you are, the rugby player you are, and the likes? Why are you pushing this theory or thought on them through posting it publicly? I mean, you know exactly what, I mean, any goose with an Instagram account or anything like that knows what's happening. I mean, the media is going to pick it up and their story is going to run. So he knew what was going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, why doesn't he hold a true media conference and bring everyone together and say, look, this is what I think? Like, do you think he'd talk like that? Or is it easier to post a thing with, well, I don't like this and I don't, I just don't like the way that people put that stuff, preach it and put it into people's faces. And everyone's got their beliefs and,
yeah,
beliefs and that sort of stuff. So,
what, this is the thing, though, right? Because I know that anyone outside of rugby can look at Israel Folau's comments from whatever point of view they wish to look at it from, okay, and say, hey, he's entitled to his beliefs, as some people have said. Hey, back off. We're all Christians here and that's what we believe. All right, fair enough. That's another point of view. And so on and so on and so forth. What it comes down to for me, though, is if you start to look around a changing room.
Mm.
Now, the people who are important to Israel Folau on a weekly basis right now, just let's leave his faith out of this for a second, but he goes to work every week as a professional rugby player, and then on the weekend he's got to go out there and he's got to have the back of this guy and he's got to have the back of that guy and they've got to have his back. So at what point do you look around a changing room, especially as this isn't the first time he's been embroiled in this situation, and we know that some of his teammates voiced their concerns last time. At what point do you look around there and say, how's this going to reflect on me from my teammates' point of view?
Well, and that's probably the whole thing, isn't it? He's not thinking about anyone else but himself when he delivers a message like that. And, I mean, as a teammate, I mean, the game of rugby is built on trust, built on relying that the guy next to you, beside you, in front of you, behind you, has got your back and going to look after you in times of need. I mean, probably one of the biggest things I've struggled with outside of rugby is I don't have those people there every day. You're a lot more individualized and you know, vulnerable to those moments because you're doing it more by yourself. So to me, why would you try and, as you say, why would you try and sabotage or ruin that relationship that he's built? And so the trust, therefore, from other players is definitely going to diminish, if not completely leave, and say, well, okay, mate, well, this is what I believe in too, but I'm not pushing in front of your face or
that's
that
it.
Sort of stuff. So it's a tricky one. I think what Ozzy's doing is probably right. I think, to be honest, like, you know, you can't afford a liability like that. Mind you, Steve Chu probably said that about me several bloody times. So, you know, I just don't think that you can, you got to make a course of action.
So where do,
Where does he go, mate? He has to start digging drains and stuff. Once you lose a contract like that, you've got to go and get a job, don't you?
I don't know how it works and if he's going to go and be a pastor full-time with his Pentecostal faith. I'm not entirely sure, but here's the thing. If you're Israel Folau right now, after everything, after you've come out pretty strongly and said, I'm not changing, this is my faith, this is the most important thing to me. Mm-hmm. I think his words were, if God wants me not to play rugby, then so be it. Okay, dude, happy days. Does he fight this? Does this end up in the courts? Because Australians love litigation. They really, really do. There is going to be a queue of employment lawyers saying, I'll take your case because this is religious discrimination from Australian rugby's point of view. Is this the sort of moment for Israel Folau where he goes, do you know what? I'm now going to make an even bigger issue out of this and I'm going to say, you've sacked me because of my faith and that's not right.
Well, then I'd put it back onto the man, not the... not the statement, and say, well, okay, hold on. If you think you're that type of person that can go out and make these statements, then stand by it. Don't make a statement so that then you can create other issues and other avenues. I mean, because what? You sue Australian Rugby Union, what for?
Well, purely, that's what I'm saying.
Purely for money.
He might say it's discrimination. Yeah, well,
it's purely for money. He's already said if God doesn't want him to play rugby because of this act, then he won't do it. So they're only suing for money. So then you ask and you say, well, hold on, mate. You can't contradict what you're saying in one element and then go and do it in another. So to me, if it is, you know. If it gets to that point, he's
got a right to appeal, but that window's closing pretty quickly on him too.
Mate, I don't see the issue. I mean, seriously, he walks away. It's clean cut. If lawyers get into his ear and make him go, well, I just think then he's having his cake and eating it too, and it's dangerous.
Before we get to this week's games, where the Israel Folau issue will raise its head again when we talk about the Waratahs and the Rebels, but let's go back to Friday night if we can, Ali. And how do you beat the Crusaders? They're on the back end of, I think it was a 17-5 penalty count, and they still put 40 points on the Highlanders. This team, and I said it before, like, there's no team that knows how to play advantage in referees like the Crusaders.
Yeah.
And they won't be very proud of the fact that they conceded so many penalties. But even in conceding those penalties, they still find a way to score 40 points. Imagine if they'd been on the other end of that equation.
Yeah, but probably about five or six of them were down that end. And he probably should have just carted them
100%
straight away, but he didn't. It's probably played into the Crusaders' hands rather than the Highlanders' hands. So, I mean, I don't know. How do you beat them? I've given everyone the answer, but no one wants to take it on. You whack them with a high ball and put pressure on them, on their flanks. You force their forwards to go backwards. You keep playing that game. Yes, it's boring, but the results will come.
Didn't we see the Landers play that style of game over the last 3 years? Have they gone away from that a little bit in terms of their kick chase game not quite being what it was? They used to trust their D, give a lot of ball away and make a lot of tackles.
Yeah, but it's sort of moved a bit now, hasn't it? They want to run, they want to... and, I mean, you can't blame them. They've got flair out wide.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they... But it's a self-discipline thing.
Is this the Crusaders' title? Like, would you be prepared to go that far right now, or do you think there's still enough water left to go under this bridge where you can't quite make a claim as bold as that?
The guarantee is they're in the playoffs. The guarantee is that they're front runners in there. The guarantee is that any team they play in the playoffs are outsiders, rank outsiders.
Mm.
But then there's only one reason that we all play rugby.
Yeah.
And that's the fact that you can beat anyone on any given day. So, I mean, you'd be a stupid man to bet against them, but I still believe that the values of rugby give everyone the opportunity and belief to think that they can beat them. That was such a PC answer, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It's quite good. Rare from you, actually.
I thought it was quite good, though. I worded it around, you know, giving people option, skill of rugby, the ethos of rugby. I'd like to be
here to bear witness to the continued maturing of you as a person and as an analyst. It's great.
There is a lot of work to do here in this carcass. A lot of work to do.
Now, you mentioned up front you were pretty happy with how the Blues played. Didn't quite get the W, though. Something about Hamilton for Aucklanders, isn't there? There's just something about the place.
Something about Hamilton for the whole world, or especially New Zealand, and doctors of New Zealand, that's for sure.
I don't know what you're trying to say there.
No, neither am I. Well, do you want to share with the people, our international viewers, what comes with Hamilton?
I think it's an unfair...
The story of Hamilton.
Well, the story of Hamilton, that it was for some time known as the venereal disease capital of New Zealand, the chlamydia capital specifically.
Correct.
I'm not entirely sure it still has rights to that. Sam, do you know?
Not too sure.
Sam doesn't know. Tina, do you know?
Tina's...
Palmerston, there's some general consensus around Palmerston North as the chlamydia capital. I think Gisborne put its hand up for a while there as well.
Rhythm and Vines.
Rhythm and Vines, man.
Comes in a flush.
Rhythm and Vines, yeah. Exposed. Do you know, can I take an aside here? Do you know after the earthquakes in Christchurch, there was a spike in sexually transmitted infections? And do you know why?
Because the condom warehouse got...
There was an influx of tradies, and some
Irish
of those,
tradies.
I didn't want to say it, but there was
Irish
and
tradies.
I'm trying very carefully not to make a sort of cause and effect correlation here, but yeah, there was a massive spike.
There was one other influence. My red-headed brother. He went down there.
Oh, but the big red dog went down
big
there.
Big red dog, yeah, mate.
But yeah, there was. So apparently all the building sites, just after the earthquakes, literally jars of condoms, like an Olympic Village level jars of condoms everywhere, just to say, stop infecting our women.
It's all about construction,
STIs.
Isn't it? These boys were constructing things, putting things together.
They were building nicely. The Blues.
Can I turn this down? Your voice is really starting to get to me.
Why?
No, next one.
That's the other one.
Next one. Yeah.
Wait, my voice is getting to already? We've only been going for
but you're just really loud.
10 minutes.
Maybe it's your emotion coming through.
It's my emotion. I get emotional when I talk about chlamydia.
It really raised his voice.
I love that story. It was one of the untold stories of the earthquakes. I mean, you know, it's all about buildings, and I know people die, but, you know, a whole lot of people got infected with the mid. Oof. That's not good. Oof. That's not good at all. A 4-point victory to the Chiefs, and they did so without Damien McKenzie for 40 minutes of that game. What a bummer for him. Should we just dwell on that for a little bit? I said yesterday, you know, no sooner is Damien McKenzie ruled out of the World Cup than the only concern is who's going to replace him in the All Blacks. There seems to be no genuine concern for this guy whose dreams and hopes are crushed because he's got an ACL rupture. Yeah, we're kind of like, oh yeah, well, whatever, dude. Well, who's next? I know the All Blacks have to think this way because we're coming down to the crunch, but do you think that overall, there's a lack of empathy and or sympathy in professional sports when people go through these kinds of events?
Yes and no. I also think it's the byproduct of where the game's going, you know. You go to Europe, for instance, and with Mourad Boudjelal as your president, mate, you're just a piece of meat, you know what I mean? You're just cattle in his yard and he's going to use you as long as he can, get every bit of flesh off you and then throw you out, mate. And with fairness, he's got his lifeline, it's his money, it's that sort of stuff. So
he's running an abattoir, basically.
Is, mate. He's a dangerous beast. And then you put other people, you know, New Zealand Rugby Union sitting there going, well, yes, or Steve Hansen, they're saying, yes, you know, we're concerned, but I got a job to win. I got a job to do. I got to, you know, pay the bills and all that sort of stuff. So I think it's just a byproduct of New Zealand Rugby saying that when
where we're at.
Yeah. I mean, back when I had my incidents and around, you know, my Achilles and things like that, I mean, they just showed me so much support and loyalty. It was unbelievable. So, you know, I can't bag them. I think I probably had the best employer in the world.
So behind the scenes, and I mean, I guess that's what I'm getting to. I mean, they'll be throwing support at Damien McKenzie here, won't they?
Without doubt. Yeah, without doubt. They'll be there and they'll be, you know, saying, you know, do whatever you can. We're here for you. We're support financially. He's still covered, is my understanding around that thing. It's just, unfortunately, we can't take you to a World Cup. We can't nurture you through. So,
yeah, it's a bummer. It's a total bummer for him.
He was going good, wasn't he?
Oh,
with what jersey on his back?
Yeah, with 15
Thank
on the back.
You.
Yeah, we're long-time supporters of Damien McKenzie at 15 here.
He goes
on the short ball.
I'll tell you what, though. What about his brother, Marty?
He's going good.
Good code.
I know.
He's running the operation. He's really sort of got so much dynamic to his game now that people fear. Normally it was just that sort of loose. Now he's got some real structure and he's got the ability to kick pass, you know, pass. He's even taking it to the line. He's a bit flatter and takes it to the line. And how about how he goal kicks?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Lines it up, spends an eternity looking at the lady behind the goalpost or the touchy dudes. What are they called? Are they still called touchies?
Assistant referees.
Sorry, lads.
Thank God you're not playing anymore.
And he just looks at them and he just takes forever. He just sort of ponders. And then he goes, lines up the ball, steps back, boof, just whacks. He doesn't even like take a breath.
It's good, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
What's
his accuracy?
Oh, he's going all right. I'm not sure, actually. I don't have his stats in front of me. But he's going okay.
Someone that knows everything.
Look, I've never claimed to know everything. You know that.
You are a book of knowledge when it comes to rugby.
Can we say, though, another prime example is if you give a 10 consistent game time, generally speaking,
They get better. Yeah, I think they're more confident in their voice. They're more confident in their ability to direct their forwards to then pick and choose when they have to push the game or when they have to feel the momentum of a game and direct them around the field. And yeah, as you say, consistency lets you do that and also confidence in that jersey.
It was a heck of a game on Saturday in the Tron, that's for sure. Who impressed you in that Blues pack? I think you were there sideline that night.
Hunting Lodge. This glass here is from the Hunting Lodge.
Yeah.
It's a great vineyard.
Sorry for those who are not watching the video at the moment.
It's a great vineyard. Yeah, they do a brilliant drop and it's good for take the kids out. I just noticed it.
So now we're talking about the glassware that we're drinking our water.
Well, I just noted it. Obviously, your conversation is not great, but the Hunting
Lodge. I asked you a question. Kumia, it's not about a conversation.
Get up to the Hunting Lodge, go and have a few beers and a good pizza.
That's a problem. I miss Mills already.
Good wine.
Yeah. We just mentioned, that's the first time you've mentioned Mills in 15 minutes.
Well, you know, if you're not here, you're not here.
I'm with you, mate.
You know, I would say this for the Blues. They ran 619 metres in that game.
See, I told you he knows a lot.
That is a long way to run and still not come up with a result. But I asked you a direct question. Who impressed you the most in that Blues pack?
In the Blues pack, in a rugby sense, I love the Tom Robinson, Brodie Retallick little duel off. It was good, eh? Old bull, young bull. I just love it. Like, Tom Robinson, he gets up and you can see he's like, oh, you think, man, this guy's got no ounce of energy, blood, life left in him. Mm. And then he hobbles over to the scrum and then the second ruck, he just flies in there. And I love the one moment where Robinson's head was just out of the ruck and Guzler just came screaming into absolutely floor him and Clifford just give it the old
ducked under. And Guzler I saw that. I know. It was so good.
I was like, that is magical. Old bull, he got you. I thought that was magic. So
Is Tom Robinson the real deal?
He is definitely the real deal.
Right.
He's big. He's got athleticism and he's got endurance.
Mm.
He's just a craftsman, and he doesn't really – he just gets on with his job. And he's got the skill attributes that not a lot of sixes have, both defensively and attacking-wise. So in the line-out especially. So, I mean, I would like to see him as a bolter this year, but I think it's a little early. He hasn't been in the system, but I wouldn't rule it out. Someone like that, you know. Steve Hansen has these weird Manners have just, mate, oh, we're going to put this red-headed monster in here just to ruffle up some feathers.
Can you imagine with a whole lot of Northern Hemisphere referees too slow to keep up with the game, Tom Robinson's red hair is just waiting to be penalised. Penalised out of the World Cup. They said, oh, it's the guy with the red hair. You're out.
He could be the sacrificial lamb, you know?
He could be.
Yeah. So, no, it was good. I thought the front row battle between Carl and Angus Tarvel was good. I think they were against each other. Just goes to show. I think that was really, really good. Sort of Carl won to start with. Then I think Angus came back and the whole sort of – it was actually Offa. I tell a lie. It was Offa and Angus. And I really respected that. I thought that was brilliant.
I thought Carl got the best of Nipolalala in that game as well.
Yeah. He looked fitter. Carl.
He had some moments in that game. Chris Ratu, who's a very popular columnist or unpopular.
Very, very popular. No,
depending on your take.
He's an opinionated goose that sits behind the paper.
Hey, whoa.
No, he is. He's full of opinions. I've got opinions, but people never see him. Like, I've never met the guy. He actually did support me, though. I must admit, he did support me after a few little incidents I had. Cheers, mate. I love how it's completely
like
this.
That's a great turnaround from you. Yeah. That is a great turnaround.
Imagine being in a relationship with me.
He reckons Carl Tuanukuafi might be the most skillful prop in New Zealand history. I've seen some skillful props.
I've seen some skillful props. Ben Tamafuna.
He was good.
He's got some skill.
He's still good.
And massive. John Arfoa. Carl Heyman in his own unique way.
Mm-hmm. Wilson Winnery. Going back.
We're
going back.
Snow White. Snow White. Remember Auckland prop? He was magical. Ola Brown. Nah, he's good with a golf club, though.
Yeah, Ola can play golf.
Yeah, plays, and a glass of wine.
He likes a red, doesn't he?
Oh, my gosh.
Likes a red wine?
Yeah, red wine.
Yeah.
Oh, if you get stuck in that spiral, you're in all sorts. You're like, hold on, Chief. This is old generation going out.
Why would you do that? Never put yourself in that position.
But kids try these days.
Yeah, I know. Talk to me about your boy Mutton Nonu.
Ugh, say no more.
Because you said to me and the audience at the start of this year, might even been the end of last year, you said, oh, you wait, he'll be in the mix.
I don't know. I maybe read the paper today or yesterday. I don't know. But Steve Hansen said, oh, we can't not look at this man.
Is that what he said?
That's what he said, didn't he? He said, he basically said, we can't not look at him. He's finding his feet. So he's more involved in the game. He's not trying to do too much, which I don't think he did when he was younger, but now I don't think he's trying to do too much. When the game needs that robust charging, he's there. That second try he scored, mm-hmm. when he just bowled over Anton Leonard, I was like, holy heck. Anton Leonard Brown is not a small human being.
No, he's not.
I did an interview with him and he's just got chunky legs and I was like, oh man, it's scary. I was watching the game actually.
It's tough though to tackle a guy that close to the line, like Mutton Nonu. Yes, you were watching the game.
I was watching a game. I got message from a guy by the name of Andrew Hoare, and he said, in that word that you're not allowed to use, if playing this game again, he literally said...
You can use that word here. You're quoting verbatim.
Oh, okay. He said, I can't. My kids will watch this one
day.
Yeah, sure. He said, if playing this game anymore. Like, it was literally like, it was just so brutal.
Yeah.
We're like, lucky we got out when we did.
Well, yeah, the game was hardly less brutal when you played, but the speed of that game, though.
When we played, right? It felt less brutal.
Look, this is the thing that, you know, rugby players have always been strong, but there's a difference when you're hitting a ruck at 20 km when you're hitting a ruck at 35. That's where the change is for
no
me.
No fat prop is hitting a ruck at 35 km. I'm being arbitrary here.
They're not a prop.
I'll tell you what, 35 km out. Not even Carlin Isles runs that, does he, on a rugby field?
Yeah, round about that.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, so imagine if he'd hit a ruck. It'd be quite good for him, wouldn't it?
Imagine him just running at
35 into a ruck.
Into Carl Heyman.
Poof!
He'd come off second best. Carl Heyman would just shake his head.
Look, that Blues game, Chiefs game, was a great game. I heard they haven't won. Blues haven't won since 2011.
Away.
Away. Is it away? Thank gosh.
It might be full
It's the longest
full stop.
Running.
It's not good.
It's scary.
It's not good.
We used to dominate the Chiefs.
Yeah, you did. And they used to hate it too.
Hate it. And now we're literally the little cousins.
That's all right, mate.
Up the road in the big city that makes everything move and revolve.
4 points. 4 points the difference in that game. Cracking game. Look, I want to talk about one other team before we get out of here today, Wams, and that is the Juarez.
Juarez.
Juarez put 50 on the Sharks at Kings Park.
How do you do that?
A, what is going on with South African rugby right now? Because the Lions got pumped by the Brumbies. The Bulls beat the Reds, but the Reds are all over the show. The Stormers had a win over the Rebels, but...
The Stormers played well against the Rebels.
The Stormers did play well against the Rebels, but the Sharks getting dicked by that much on their home deck, that is weird. I don't know where to place the Juarez. I'm having issues here.
Where are they in the
Who knows? Who knows?
They are building though, aren't they? It's like their World Cup. But prep. Can you click on it?
Yeah, I can click on it.
We're just going to try and get some stats here off the Rugby Pass website.
You want stats?
Just to know where the
I don't know where to place the Juarez. They're third in the South African Conference. They are 2 points behind the Sharks, who are 2 points behind the Bulls. The Lions are literally nowhere. They're last.
But they used to be good, the Lions.
The Lions have been awesome for the last 3 years. So God knows what's happening there. I don't get the South African Conference. I don't get it at all. I get everything else. I understand
you
the Crusaders.
You understand the Blues are above the Chiefs and the Highlanders.
I understand that.
I get that too.
I understand
I definitely
that.
Get that.
Do you like that?
I love it.
I don't understand the Highlanders being down there.
I love it.
I thought the Chiefs would be bringing
The Rebels. Yeah, we get this. You're right, hey. That's weird, isn't it?
I just don't. I don't. Someone from South Africa will have to tell me what's going on there because I...
The Sharks were good, though. I mean, 2 weeks ago they played all right, didn't they?
Yeah, but then...
They have this sporadic...
That's the word we're looking for, sporadic sharks.
Sporadic sharks.
Sporadic sharks.
That's maybe the cold water's coming in Durban. And so then the shark migrates further out.
Well, in Durban?
No, the hot sharks are attracted to hot water.
You mean sharks in the water?
Yeah.
Ocean sharks.
Oh, my God, Sumo.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sharks, it's the climate change. So the sharks are getting worse as the climate's getting colder.
What do you mean the sharks are getting worse? So they're coming more inshore?
No, they go out of shore. So sharks come in to attack. Yes?
Sure.
Sure. So the shark has come into Durban to attack, and it used to be good on the rugby field. Now with the cold weather coming in, the shark's moving out, hence why they're playing so shit, because they're moving out in search of the hot water and other continents.
So your analysis of the Sharks' performance is related to sharks,
Actual sharks. Well, that is their mascot. It's like the Blue Bulls.
That's the most ridiculous podcast I've ever done. I'm really enjoying it, actually. Let's go to this week's game.
You don't think the animal that you represent has anything to do with your performance?
Maybe.
I mean, look at the Juarez.
Is that why
they're coming? They just sniper in the middle of the night. You wouldn't have picked that result.
Is that why then?
Yeah, like that one.
Juarez. Is that why the Sunwolves can't perform regularly? Because the Sunwolf.
What is the Sunwolf?
That's what I'm saying to you. Like, so the Sunwolf doesn't exist.
That's why it's made together of all sorts of Otago players and ex other New Zealand players and the odd riff raff Australian and. Oh, they've got a few Japanese in there. I think they've got one Chinese in there too. That's why. I mean, I don't know what a sun wolf is.
Why do you think that no New Zealand team is named after an animal? It's just made me think about that. I've never thought about it until now.
Well, yeah.
Do we not have any animals you can name a team after? Our baseball team's what? The Tuatara, named after a dinosaur. It's the lizard.
Oh, yeah. Tuatara is a bird, isn't it, too?
No.
Isn't it?
No. Oh. What? Tuatara is a lizard related to the dinosaurs.
Our lead teams are animals.
Lead teams are Kiwis?
Kiwis and a warrior. Don't know if that's an animal, but I could be wrong, Tina Arena.
I'm not entirely sure. I think we've done it all wrong. I think we might need to. I know the Crusaders' name is in question at the moment. Maybe we should go back and review all the names.
What would we call the Crusaders?
What's the most the famous?
The Dugongs.
The Rams.
No, Dugongs.
The Dugongs?
Yeah. Greg Somerville used to play for the Crusaders, and we called him the Dugong.
Why did you call Greg Somerville the Dugong?
The Dugong. You know what the Dugong is?
Yeah, it's like a manatee, right? It's like a sea cow.
It's a sea cow, mate. Sits at the bottom of the ocean. just munching away. So he called Greg Sumwell the dugong. Hey, dugong! Because he had no legs and a big carcass up top, big chest. He could run a 3K pretty quickly. I remember the dugong. You're sitting there going, oh, poor guy, look at his legs. And he just charged on a 3K. She could run it in like under 12 minutes.
3K in under 12 minutes.
He was an impressive creature. And he could scrum. The dugong. Wonder how the dugongs are going.
Dugong's going fine. We've got to stop this podcast. That's been the short ball for another week. Ellie, thanks for your time, mate.
Oh, thank you, Sumo. I'm going to name you, actually. Next week, I'll name you as a creature.
I don't know. What?
You could be a...
Now, Andrew Mertens calls me the Rudu.
The Rudu?
The Rudu.
What is that?
It's an owl.
You do look like an owl. Yeah. You look like an owl. That is beautiful. I'm going to get you to perch on the back of the seat next time. You're with the Rudu and the short ball. Checking out.
Call me the Rudu.
Rudu.
Yeah.
Magic. Is that us?
It's us.
Cheers, bud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.